We all have burdens. True or false? True. Yes, we do. Some have physical problems, physical burdens. Some have emotional burdens. Some have spiritual burdens. Maybe it's a mental burden or emotional. Maybe it's fear, depression, anxiety. We've all got problems and they all weigh down on us. Sort of like a yoke around our neck or a burden on our back. So that today's question is, what do I do with my burdens? What do I do with them? That's the question. So I got 3 points this morning. If you want to turn to Galatians chapter 6, Diana, that will be just verses 1 and 2 is all we're going to look at. If you keep taking notes, point number 1 is, some burdens are meant to be shared. It's going to be three words that begin with S this morning. So the first one is, share your burdens. Some examples of burdens to be shared are your faults, the faults and failures. So let's look at Galatians 6. Brethren, even, I like that word, even. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of what? Gentleness. Even if anyone is caught in any trespass, no matter what the sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one, looking in the mirror is what it's saying. Look to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. What does verse 2 say? Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. The only thing that will keep us from doing verse 2 is to think that we're above it. Pride will cause that you're above help, you're above reproach. There's actually people that they think they're God's gift to the church, or they're God's gift to humanity. They're fixers. They don't need to be fixed. They just need to fix people. It's a self-righteous spirit. It's self-deception. We all need each other. All. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, we sharpen each other. Amen. So one man sharpens another. We need each other. And I need you. I need you. Amen. Because nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And I heard a story about a preacher that asked that from the pulpit one time. He said, has anybody heard about any perfect man? And he was waiting for someone to say, yes, Jesus. Some man in the back said, well, I never met him, but I married a widow, and my wife's first husband, I think, was pretty perfect. She talks about him a lot. But there are no perfect people, no, not one. We're all prone to wander, and we all need each other. Another example of burdens meant to be shared is sorrow and grief. I get an email from some vendors that I deal with, and this one lady, at the bottom of her email, it's always typed in. It says, be kind. Everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Now, erroneously, sometimes that's attributed to Plato, but it's not. It was a Scottish minister named Ian McLaren. And I wish Jim was here. He taught at Edinburgh University, where Papa Jay's son is just down the street from there. But be kind, because people are going through sorrow and grief, and sometimes you just don't know that person that you're reaming out over the phone is going through. Tragedy, sorrow, disappointment, depression, and grief will eventually visit your house in some kind of way. Let me say that again. Tragedy, sorrow, disappointment, maybe depression, and grief will eventually visit every person's home. But John 16:33 said, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, because I have overcome the world." So be an overcomer. Amen? Be an overcomer. In Ruth chapter 2, she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." See, she was a stranger. She was an outcast. She was a Moabite. She's from another foreign land. So she was expected to be ostracized. She was expected to do without. But boy, somebody came into her life and comforted her. Remember Boaz? And you know, she ends up being David's, what was it, his great-grandmother? She's in the line of Jesus, you know? And that was a comfort. Who have you comforted recently? Who has comforted you recently? I want to read a... I wonder if I can get this smartphone to work. Come on, phone. I'm going to read an email. There we go. I mashed my finger and it was infected here recently. And Susan Beck sent me a text. And she said, "How are all your little fingers feeling today? Do they still have pus in them? You might like a nice vinegar and hot water solution soak. Love, Susan." Well, that just blessed me. That just blessed me to think that she's thinking about me. I texted her back and I said, "Susan, you're so thoughtful. Yes, they are a little better today, and thank you for your prayers." I got one the other day from Heather Greathouse. "What's up, Dad?" She calls me Dad Paul. "What's up, Dad Paul? Are we having any New Year's services? I love you." He texted me Saturday. "Hey, Dad, are we having Saturday Night Live tonight? I still love you." And that just comforts me. That's just a blessing. Have you comforted somebody lately? That should be our New Year's resolution, to bring comfort to those, to bring comfort. Because with the measure that you comfort, it'll be measured, it'll be given back to you. I think this is one reason God allows sorrows to come to us, so we can be comforted and in turn comfort others in need to help them through it. Let me show you in the Word, 2 Chronicles. You don't have to turn there. 2 Chronicles 1:4. "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted by God." Has anybody ever heard of a guy named George Washington Truett? George Washington Truett, minister, man of God. Anybody ever heard of a little town called Hayesville, North Carolina? Hayesville, in 2010, the population was 311, if everybody was at home. It's over by Murphy. It's like the last town to go through before you hit Tennessee. Show you how small it is. The town of Marion is 6 square miles. The town of Hayesville is less than half a square mile. So it's a little bitty town. Back in the mid-1800s, it only had a population around 70. But that's where George Washington Truett was born. He became his first pastorate was at the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. Now, at that time, they had 711 members. So it was like 10 times larger than his whole town. But do you know, in the 47 years that he pastored Dallas, Texas, he had over 19,000 new members come into his church. They had to build 3 new churches in the 47 years he was there. It kept growing so much. But he told a story one time about a woman in his congregation who lost a baby, kind of like Richard and Lavender and his wife. And he said, I tried to minister to the woman. I tried to counsel with her. I went out for weeks trying to minister and could not. And he said, I remember the Lord reminded me of another woman in the congregation, such a big congregation, it's hard to remember them all, that she years ago had lost a baby girl as well. So he went and enlisted her help. And you know what he said? You can tell he's an humble man, not a man of pride. He said, that woman did more in 5 minutes than I ever did with that woman. Ever. She ministered to her. That's what this verse is saying. It's saying, who comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those. See, he had not walked in her shoes. He hadn't walked in her shoes. So let's not wallow in self-pity about our tragedies being wasted, because God can use them for good in others. Many of you all are uniquely qualified to help others. Mary McLaughlin is uniquely qualified to help any mom that has a special needs child. I probably, like that pastor, could spend weeks and couldn't get to first base. But Mary could do more in 5 minutes than I could. That's what this is saying. So lay your burdens down. But when your burdens come on, you know that it's to help others. It's to help others. I never had a, I smoked a couple cigarettes. I got caught one time and mom busted me. I mean, busted me. But it blessed me that Kelly was chewing tobacco and just laid it down. So Marion, when you get serious about laying your chewing tobacco down, you need to go see Kelly. Because I can't tell you how to stop. I don't know. I've just never been there, okay?
You better tell them you're kidding.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Let's be patient and kind and understanding about people's burdens. So lift a burden with a kind word, or like Susan did, a kind text or an email. So some burdens are to be shared, okay? Point two. If you look down at verse 5, it almost seems sort of contradictory, verse 5, but I believe it's two different kinds of burdens. Some burdens are to be shouldered. There's some burdens that nobody else can help you with. Some, I think, are consequences of personal sin. We live in a day and a time that people, they want to sin, but they want to avoid the consequences of the sin. Today's attitude is, you know, that's not really my fault. That's the way my parents raised me, or blame it on your ex, or blame it on whatever. Marion and I have talked about this recently. She had an alcoholic father, but you don't use that as a crutch. You don't lean on that and say, well, I'm going to, you know, that's the way my dad raised me, so I'm going to be an alcoholic. You rise above it. You become an overcomer. So many kids today are developing a victim's mentality, that something's always somebody else's fault. We make our bed, we have to sleep in it. We like to play the blame game. We're world famous for passing the buck sometimes. But, you know, we really got it honest. You know, remember Uncle Adam? When God came to him, and what'd he do? He blamed it on Aunt Eve, and went to Aunt Eve, and she said, it was that snake you gave me. I'm trying to figure out whether that was Adam or the Satan that she's talking about. It's the blame game. That's just in our DNA, I guess. But we choose to sin, but we cannot choose the consequences. Remember King David with Bathsheba? It said, the sword will never leave your house. So he had to shoulder a lot of that. A lot of the burdens that he had to shoulder them. Another is judgment. In Hebrews 9, Verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. See, everybody, we're going to stand before God and we're going to stand there alone. It's just going to be me. It's not going to be me and my wife. It's not going to be me and my mom. It's not going to be me and my attorney. There's probably not going to be very many attorneys there, but you're going to be there on your own, and that's when the service awards are handed out. You know, and we're going to be judged for our stewardships, our motives, and God, who knows the heart, is going to be the rewarder. The lost will have no hope at judgment. They'll stand before God with the burden of sin still on their back. So some burdens are to be shared, some are to be shouldered. And point three, some burdens are to be shed. That's that song that we just listened to. Lay down your burdens. Let's look at Psalm 55. If you would go there, Diana, 55, verse 22. Psalm 55, 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. I like that word, shaken. Amen. Jesus is a great burden bearer. Sometimes we cling to a burden and we, how many times do we try to do it ourselves? Yes. We try to keep it instead of shed it. Some burdens he wants to carry for us if we'll just let him. He wants to carry them, but we've got to turn them over to him. If you would just stay there on Psalm, but I'm going to read to you Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, this is the only place in the entire Bible that Jesus defines his personality. It's the only time. He will show you his mercy. He will show you his grace. In the temple, he showed you his wrath or anger. But this is the only time when he actually says, this is my character. This is my personality. I am gentle and humble in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. When it's more than you can bear and you don't think you can take another step, just lay it at the feet of Jesus. Amen. But for some reason, sometimes we feel we just can do it ourselves. But let's look at Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger, we sang about it this morning in two different songs, Chase. His anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. Weeping may remain for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Listen, one of two things are going to happen when you cast your burden on him, okay? Number one, he's going to lift the burden. I've seen people that needed healing. They came in, they asked for prayer, and they were healed. Sometimes supernaturally right away, like my back was just healed amazingly. Sometimes it's a financial need and the money comes. It's just amazing. So sometimes the Lord will lift that burden right then. But sometimes, let's look back at that verse that she's got up there. Let's go back to Psalm 55, 22, please. I want you to read, this just hit me the other day. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain them. No, it doesn't say them, does it? Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain what?
You.
Wait a minute. I thought it was cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain it. He's not saying that. Ooh. So one, he will either lift the burden, or two, he'll do what Amy Grant said in that song. He'll lift the burden and you too. That's what he's saying. Cast your burden on him and he'll give you the grace to rise above it.
call the other day, my sister told me to lay a certain thing at Jesus' feet and walk away and just leave it. And I said, well, I've done that a million times. She just rolled her eyes.
Amen. Let's look at an example. The Apostle Paul. Three times he asked for a burden to be lifted, did he not? Three times he said, lift this burden I'm carrying. We preach about it and we say, no, he didn't lift it. You know what he did? Yes, he did. He lifted it in him too and gave him the grace to go on through it. So there are people that should be sitting in these seats today that are not here because they've asked for the Lord to lift a burden and they don't think he has, or he hasn't seemed to lift that burden. And then they get mad, bitter, or throw a pity party, and he don't lift them or the burden, either one. And now you're really in bad shape because he wants to lift you and the burden. And many times after that, then he'll lift the burden off of you, you know? I'm going to tell a true story in closing. I'm going to tell a story about Ruby Hamilton. This is a true story. Ruby Hamilton was a businesswoman in her 50s. She got married in her early 20s, was married for 32 years, and all of a sudden her husband dies in a car accident after 32 years. Her anger and her disappointment went deeper than just the typical expression of grief that you would go through. Because see, right after she got saved, she became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now her husband was a successful businessman. He was trying to get his business up and going, and he didn't exactly share the newfound interest in the spiritual things that she did. She went so much deeper than him. Nonetheless, she just kept praying for him feverishly and unceasingly that he would come to know the Lord. And one day in her prayer closet, she was praying and she just felt this overwhelming peace just come and surround her. It was a wave that just washed over her. And she said the Holy Spirit spoke to her and assured her that her husband would be okay. He spoke to her in a still small voice and said, your husband is going to be all right. Anybody got a word like that? Well, she eagerly waited and waited for her husband to surrender his life to Jesus. And now this. Now he's gone. Okay, now let's take a time out right there on Ruby, okay? When faith doesn't make sense, when God doesn't seem to be answering your prayers and opening the doors, what are you going to do? Are you going to run to him? Are you going to run from him? What are you going to do? You know what Ruby Hamilton did? She stopped reading her Bible so much. She stopped praying so much. And she stopped going to church so much. And by 6 months later, Ruby wasn't even serving the Lord at all. I want to tell you, just time out right there. I'll tell you about a guy named Roger Simmons. He was hitchhiking on his way home. He'll never forget the date. It was May the 7th. His suitcase was heavy, and it was making him tired. And boy, he was anxious to take off that army uniform once and for all. He'd been serving the United States of America in the war. Now he was hitchhiking home. And around the curve, here came a brand spanking new black, sleek, new Cadillac. And to his surprise, the car stopped. The passenger door swung open, and he ran to the car, tossed his suitcase in the back, and he thanked the handsome, well-dressed man as he slid into the front seat. The driver said, "You going home for keeps?" He said, "I sure am." He said, "Well, you're in luck if you're headed to Chicago." He said, "Well, I'm not quite going that far, but it's on the way." Well, the driver said, I've got a business there. My name's Hamilton. Nice to meet you. Well, they chatted for a while. Then Roger, a born-again Christian, felt in his spirit that he needed to share this with this apparently successful businessman. But he just kept putting it off because he was getting a free ride. But as he got closer to home, he was only about 30 minutes away. He said, it's now or never. I gotta share. So he said, Mr. Hamilton, I'd like to talk to you about something very important. Then he simply told Mr. Hamilton about how the Lord saved him on the battlefield and how he ultimately asked him to come into his heart. So he asked Mr. Hamilton if he had ever received Jesus as his Savior. Well, the Cadillac pulled over to the side of the road, and he thought, I'm getting ready to get kicked out. About that time, the businessman bowed his head and received Christ into his heart. He said, this is the greatest thing that has ever happened in my life. I can't wait to tell my wife. Now, this is way before cell phones. Well, 5 years later, Roger's married. He's got two kids of his own. Will you quit crying? You're making me a mess up here. He's got two kids of his own. He's got his own business. And his business is taking him to Chicago. So he remembered that little white business card that Mr. Hamilton had gave him 5 years earlier. I'm going to go look up that card. He found the card. He said, I'm just going to surprise him, see how he's doing on his walk with the Lord. When they got to Chicago and he looked up Hamilton Enterprises, he walked in and asked the receptionist, can I see Mr. Hamilton? She said, I'm sorry, that is impossible, but you can see Mrs. Hamilton. A little confused, he was ushered into a beautiful office where he found himself facing a keen-eyed woman, probably in her 50s. She extended her hand and said, you knew my husband? Roger told her about how Mr. Hamilton had picked him up while he was hitchhiking home after the war. She said, could you tell me the date? He said, I sure can. I'll never forget it. It was May the 7th, 5 years ago. It was the day I was discharged from the army. Tears filled her eyes. He hesitated, not knowing if he should say anything now, seeing how she's grieving and how he shared the message of Jesus with her. But he finally said, Mrs. Hamilton, I explained the gospel to your husband that day. And he pulled over to the side of the road, and he wept against that steering wheel. He gave his life to Christ that day. An explosive sob shook her body. Finally getting a grip on herself, she said, I had prayed for my husband's salvation for years. I believed God would save him. Finally, Roger inquired, where is your husband, Ruby? She said, he's dead. He died on May the 7th in a car crash right after he dropped you off. She said, he never made it home. You see, I thought God had not kept his promise. So I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought God had not kept his word to me. Somebody here is carrying a burden that the Lord never intended for you to carry. But maybe you just Insist on carrying it. You know, there's an old song we used to sing, Anne. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. So I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, only Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. So some burdens are to be shared, some are to be shouldered, but some are to be shed. Some were to cast our burdens on him. I must tell Jesus all of my burdens. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver and make of my troubles quickly an end. I'm going to ask Chase if he will play a song this morning. It's a song by Clint Brown called At Your Feet. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm just going to ask you to pray. Listen to the words of the song.
As the fragrance through the room, she lost its sweet with tears, dried them with her hair. I know how Mary felt as she was kneeling there.
Thank you.
Remember that verse this week. Cast your burdens on Him, and He will sustain you. If you're seeking after Him with your whole heart, it says He will never let the righteous to be shaken. In the King James, it says to be moved. Just keep searching after Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you'll never be shaken. Cast your burdens on Him, for He cares for you, and He will sustain you. Sometimes He may lift that burden, but if He doesn't lift the burden, He's going to lift you and the burden. Amen. Yes, we've been asked. We prayed in the men's group. Thanks, Marion. We prayed in the men's group this morning. We got a prayer request from, y'all know Tater. We call him Tater. David Hoskins. His father used to pastor in this building on Sundays and Wednesday nights. Tater and Nikki still go to New Horizon, and the pastor there is Kenneth. I can't remember his last name. It begins with an H. But he's in his early 30s, and he has been diagnosed with malignant brain cancer.